Hey guys, welcome back to the countdown. That's right, we are back. Long time no see. I'm your host, Hunter Schrader, and this is my co-host,
Cam Tracewell.
All right, Cam, let's get into it. The CFP playoffs are upon us tonight. We have Indiana and Notre Dame. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some picks for the first round, and then we're going to talk about the seeding. Did they get it right? Did they get it wrong? I know as an Alabama fan you are. I know you're not real happy about SMU getting in, but we both knew that why SMU got in over Alabama. But having said that, we'll save that later. First game is Indiana versus Notre Dame. Give me the Hoosiers, please.
Yeah, I'm in no disagreement with you. I agree with you with Indiana. I think Notre Dame does have an elite secondary. I think that a lot of those guys are probably going to end up going pro. They have a very elite secondary, but it's not their defense I question. Notre Dame has a outstanding defense. They've had one all year. It's Riley Leonard. What can Riley Leonard, you know, he has produced well since that collapse game against FIU, you know, back in week four. He has produced a lot better. He's played a lot better throughout the season. But the thing is, Army, I wouldn't consider a big-time matchup. I would consider playing Army a big-time win. That's just personally me. So it just, to me, I think Indiana and Cignetti, their offense is almost unstoppable. We saw Ohio State, but Ohio State should have stopped them. But everybody else struggled against Indiana. So to me, it's an in-state game. It's, you know, in South Bend. It's in Notre Dame. It's a winner type game. I got to roll with, you know, the offensive-minded coach. But I'm rolling with Indiana. Now they have Notre Dame at minus an 8.5 favorite, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. That might be just me.
I think that's a little disrespectful to Indiana as well.
I think it's not even Indiana. It's everybody. Everybody's getting it. Like 10, like Ohio State's got the same type of thing going for them. So to me, I don't think that Indiana and Notre Dame are as far off. I think it's a minus 3.5. That's the stretch. And this is going to be a battle game, and I think it's a perfect open rival game. So, good way to start the college football playoff, in-state game, Notre Dame, Indiana. I'm going with Indiana.
I agree with everything you said, and like you said, credit to Notre Dame's defense. They have been elite all year. The question I have is Riley Leonard. We've seen Riley. I'm very disappointed with the way he played, to be honest. I thought Riley Leonard was going to be the guy, and then we look at the Northern Illinois game. He struggled really, really bad, and I don't know why. I still don't understand that game. Like, he played bad. And Indiana is like Northern Illinois, you know, gritty. They're tough. If you keep it close, they have a fighting chance. But I think Indiana is a little bit better than Northern Illinois. They have the blueprint against Notre Dame. And like you said, in-state game, I like Indiana. The next game is SMU and Penn State. I'm not going to lie, Penn State has the easiest road to the Final Four I've ever seen. This is why I think seeding's an issue. Penn State is going to beat SMU. I mean, I think SMU will give them a closer game than what people expect. Penn State should still beat them by 2 or 3 scores, no doubt. I have the Nittany Lions.
I got the Nittany Lions. And the reason it's an all-wide-out game, it's at Penn State. And really, this has nothing to do with SMU. This has nothing to do with their talent. This has nothing to do with them as a team, but Penn State's stacked. They have expectations, and James Franklin has an easy, you know, outside of, he's got an easy first two games. He's going to play SMU and Boise State, and I think, you know, you've got to, if you're James Franklin wanting to compete and really keep your job. I hate to say, they looked great against Oregon, and I don't think SMU has the defense to stop it, so I'm going with the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I just don't think SMU is ready for Penn State defense. I just don't see it. I don't. To be honest, I understand why the committee put them in, SMU, because wins and losses matter, right? Like, that's what we look at. Wins and losses matter. And SMU has the best losses out of Miami, out of Alabama, out of them too, right? I think that's the only 3 teams, right? I'm not missing the team. I don't think I'm missing the team.
No, it was Miami and Alabama were the outsiders.
Okay. That's what I thought. I thought it was only them 3. But you have to look at who Alabama and Miami beat. Miami should not be in. I think the conversation goes from Miami's on the outside looking in. I think it was between Alabama and SMU. I think Alabama should have got in because I know Vanderbilt and Oklahoma were 2 bad losses. but Alabama beat a lot more better competition and teams than SMU. So that's why I would give Alabama the nod over SMU.
So you know I'm an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
After the loss in Norman and the way that they played, I just, you know, every fan wants their team to get in, but after that loss, I couldn't see it anymore. You know what I mean? I couldn't see it. It's not losing in Oklahoma that bothered me. It's the way that Alabama lost, the way that Jalen Milroe played, the way they came off that LSU game dominating factor to going to Norman and playing like they did. Really, I mean, okay, so if we talk about a different scenario, they win in Norman, right? They win the Oklahoma game. If SMU had gotten in, I'd have been upset. If Alabama was a 10-2 team or 11-2 team, right? Or 10-2 team, sorry. They were a 10-2 team and SMU had gotten in over Alabama, I'd have been pissed. You know what I mean?
As you should
and
be.
I think there was a chance for Alabama to get in if Clemson would have blown the SMU out. If Clemson would have blown in that first half of that football game and the ACC title game, I think there was a small chance Alabama could have gotten in because the committee would have looked at it and go, yo, SMU can't lose 34-6 in a championship game. They'd have been like, yo, that ain't cool. Can't have that. So Alabama, that'd have been the only way Alabama would have been able to sneak in. But this is what makes it fair. This is what makes it, you know, competitive for the Power Four because, like I said, I mean, it's you got to have the ACC involved, and if SMU would have won, Alabama probably would have gotten in because Clemson would have never gotten in. Clemson, this is a good thing for them, but SMU, it's a challenge. Like the for seeding purposes, right? Playing Penn State in Penn State is not really the most ideal situation that you have to go into, and so just looking at it across the board. You got to keep it fair because if you add another SEC team in, it gets controversial. People get pissed.
Right. You're going to hear the biased comments and like, oh, they love the SEC and all this.
Not only that, but even if another Big Ten team would have gotten in, they would have, you know, they want the smaller conferences in. So, yeah, that's what they want to do. All right.
Okay. Next game is Texas and Clemson.
Who do you got?
I think this is going to be the defensive showdown. I think this is going to be gritty. Tough, physical. This is going to be the lowest scoring game in the playoff, in my opinion. I do not expect this game to be high scoring. This is going to be close throughout the whole way. I think Texas edges Clemson by 3 to 7 points max. I can't go against Texas against Clemson. Cade Klubnik is like the greatest first half quarterback I've ever seen. And then the second half, he just like disappears. I don't know what happens, but he's not consistent, and that's why I'm going with Texas.
So yeah, you know, Texas and Clemson. This gets interesting because Cade and Quinn have a little history between the two of them, and as a lot of people know, when Clemson got picked to play Texas, Cade Klubnik smiled because Cade has beat him at every high level. He's beat Quinn Ewers at every high level that they've played against each other, and so. To me, when I look at it, you know, you look at Cade Klubnik and you look at Dabo Swinney and Clemson. The one thing that you can pick out about Dabo Swinney and Clemson is that they never can go away. And when people think that, you know, Clemson's done, Clemson is not going to make it, they come back and make it. They somehow win football games. And I think it's just the veteran coaching of Dabo Swinney and Cade Klubnik growing his growing pains, right? He's growing in these learning curves. This should be an easy beatdown for Texas. And, you know, they've got the roster. They got the team. They have Quinn Ewers, who, you know, to me, he hasn't seemed the same since he got injured.
No.
But if it was me and I'm Steve Sarkisian, you're about ready to roll with Archie Manning and just get on with it. You know what I mean? Let's get on with it and go. But you got to give Quinn Ewers the edge. He stayed. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough because Texas was the better team versus Washington last year in this situation. Texas was better than Washington last year.
Yep.
They were a better football team, and they lost. They lost to Michael Penix. So when I look at it again, I'm not looking just at Quinn Ewers. I'm looking at Steve Sarkisian. Is he going to outcoach Dabo? Because Dabo shouldn't have beat a. Listen, Syracuse is the only reason Dabo got in the ACC championship game. Okay, Syracuse saved their season against Miami, and then they get in there, and everybody goes, SMU's going to blow them out, and then somehow out of the blue, Clemson wins the football game. I mean, like, Clemson's winning the football game. And in the first half, they were winning in fashion, too. They were running away with it. Well, now, SMU picked themselves up. They got themselves off the floor. But I don't know. It's tough. You know what I mean? Like, Penn State and SMU so easy to pick against, right?
Yeah,
we know
who's
going to win that game.
That's the easiest one, in my opinion.
Notre Dame and Indiana is a little it's tough. That's a tough one.
Because it's in state, and like I said, Indiana and Northern Illinois are so similar to each other. Indiana's
but you picked Texas to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, and they lost to a backup.
It's because they can't keep kicking field goals, and the dude missed two of them.
But even that, like, I don't know. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. The more talented football team, the better head coach, right? The national champion head coach, the better football team. For me, there's expectations, and I got to go with Texas. They have expectations. They have to win. Would I like to see Dabo in it? Yeah. I mean, for a guy who doesn't, you know, go to the NIL at all and, you know, competing in the college football playoff, he doesn't touch the NIL. So he's like John Calipari when he was at Kentucky, right? Didn't touch the NIL, and look how good their team is. Like, but to me, it's you got to go with Texas. Got to roll with Texas. I have to roll with Texas.
I agree.
Sorry, my soliloquy took forever, but I mean,
yeah, you're all right. You're good.
The college football playoff is actually, you know, there's a lot more tougher matchups than you thought.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, I think we both agree the easiest one to pick is Penn State and SMU for sure. The last one, and I think this is going to be the best matchup. I think this is the best game that they gave us in the first round is Ohio State and Tennessee. Tennessee has to come in cold weather, blah, 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 whatever. I don't care. I picked Ohio State to win the Natty. I did. Do I regret that decision? I don't know. That Michigan game really got me. I'm telling you now, I was here. And now I'm here. Ryan Day's catching for a job. He has to make the Natty. Has to. There is no way that they keep him if he don't make the Natty. Tennessee's offense explosive. Freshman quarterback. That's the key. On the road in Columbus, hostile environment. I'm going to stick with my national.
Hey, you're in a pool with me, aren't you? You're like a pool. You don't know.
I am sticking with my national champion pick. Give me the Buckeyes. And a close one. Close. The game is close.
Oh, man. Whew.
It's tough. This is the toughest game to pick.
I'm gonna state something before, you know, talk about my side of which one. Oregon, you know, got screwed out of all this. Oregon should have Boise State's road. Oregon should have Boise State's road. What are we doing? Like, they got the best teams they got to play. They're the number one seed. You know what they got granted? The best teams. They had to play Ohio State, which is possibly one of the best teams. And then they got to play Texas. I mean, could it get any harder for Oregon? They're 13-0, and they got to take on hard teams.
Sounds like you got rewarded.
Rewarded, you know, having to, you know, hopefully squeeze by.
Yeah, the number one should have got the easiest road.
They should have got Boise State's road. That's really what they should have been Boise State's road. That's here that whatever. But I mean, Tennessee and Ohio State. Tennessee, I was confident in Tennessee for a little while, but Tennessee, when they played Vandy, and, you know, congratulations to Vandy and had an awesome season they had. I know Vandy ended off with 6-6. Yes. 6-6, and they played Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. But for Vanderbilt, had a good season. It was a good season. 6-6. I mean, hell, they haven't been 6-6 in I don't know how long. It's been a long time. Vanderbilt had them in that game for a while. I mean, caused problems for Tennessee early on. Tennessee, I know, got it 36-23, but early on that game, you could have swore that Vanderbilt was going to win the football game. I mean, because they were running up and down. They were, you know, shoving them around a little bit. Tennessee, they worry me against big-time opponents. Played Georgia and lost 31-17. They barely beat Alabama 24-17. They lost to Arkansas when they were number four in the country, 19-14. Tennessee has a sleeper defense, young offense, but when I look at it across the board, and this is how I'm going to put it, Ryan Day's the better coach between the two. State's offensively more talented than Tennessee. They have the three best receivers in the country. They have Henderson and Judkins in the backfield. They have Will Howard is the only cause of the problem on the offense, just like last year with Kyle McCord. They have Caleb Downs on the defense, is probably the best free safety in the entire country. They have Jack Sawyer, linebacker. Their defense and offense is just absolutely special. And here's what happened against the Michigan game. Ohio State wants to play bully ball. This is what happened. They get in their own way. Ohio State gets in their own way all the freaking time. They are known for this crap. Michigan has not been a good football team all year. But what has Michigan always been good at for the last 4 years? Running the football. They can run the football. You know what Ohio State said? We got Henderson and Judkins. We're going to try it out. We're going to try to play your game. Ohio State's not a running team. They're not built for that. You know what Ohio State is? Finesse, pass the ball. That's what they have. The three best receivers in the country. I mean, listen. I know. You know, we could talk about McMillan out there in Arizona, right? You talk about Travis Hunter. You talk about Nick Nash, right? But I mean, listen, Tate, Jeremiah Smith, Abuka, dude, come on now. A quarterback can't get more blessed than that. It's at Ohio State. It's an 8 o'clock game. It's in Columbus. I got to go with the Buckeyes. I don't think they play. Ohio State, they get in their own way against Michigan all the time. They get in their own head. But when it's against a real-time opponent, it's hard to pick against. I don't bet against. I always say this. There's two teams that I can bet against Ohio State, right? Michigan's always one of them. And Georgia.
They've had
bad history with Georgia, too. So they've had bad history with Georgia Alabama. They've lost national championship to Alabama. So they've had bad history against those three teams. But when I look at this matchup, they ain't losing Tennessee. They're not losing Tennessee. They want Oregon because they feel like they should have won that Oregon game. They feel like they should have won that game. And to me, when I look at Ohio State, they're the best football team on paper.
They are.
They're the best football team on paper. And Ryan Day, he can coach offense, and I'm going with the Buckeyes, and I'll go with them. You go with what? Probably close game field goal. What you're thinking?
I think 3 to 10 points. Nothing more.
I'm going by 6.5. Okay. I stay by 6.5. I think Ohio State can beat him by 6.5. But all that's because right. It has nothing to do with the weather conditions of that shit, and I don't think it has anything to do with that. It has the fact that Ohio State needs this more than Tennessee does.
Right.
I think it's Ohio State's game to lose. So. Give me the Buckeyes.
All right, so me and Cam are in agreement. 4 for 4. That's crazy.
Scary.
The last thing I'm going to add before moving to the NFL MVP race is the fact that, like you said, you tried to beat Michigan at their own game. They know how to stop the run. They know how to run the ball. And their best corner was out, so I don't understand the game plan behind that. So I agree 100% with what you said. All right, Cam, moving in the NFL MVP race. Who is your number one leading guy right now for the NFL MVP?
It's tough.
It's not tough. This is easy.
You want my real answer, or do you want my what it's logical answer?
I want your real answer. I want your real answer. No logic.
Does it have to be based off record?
No. I just want your honest opinion.
Joe Burrow.
I knew it. I knew that's who you were going to say. I freaking knew it.
Joe Burrow's the best quarterback in the NFL today. Right now. He's the best quarterback right now, hands down. Joe Burrow has the highest QBR on a losing team, for God's sakes.
Okay, to your credit, I will say this. Burrow is my second, not my one.
Who you got, Lamar Jackson?
No, baby, Josh Allen. Josh Allen is my number one MVP candidate right now.
He's the logical one, yeah, he's the logical one.
I'm not going to lie. Everyone thought this was going to be a rebuild year for him. Buffalo, he had no wide receivers, nothing. This dude has thrived. This dude has been amazing. Regular season Josh Allen. Now, here's what I want to see out of Josh Allen. Can you take your MVP regular season and finally make it transferable to postseason? That's what I want to see out of Josh Allen.
That's just, listen, that, yeah. Yeah, postseason has something to do with that. Well, I'm going to go back to my own point. Why Joe Burrow over Josh Allen? All right. Compare this to between Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. Joe Burrow's thrown for 3,900 yards this season. Most in the NFL. Joe Burrow has 36 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. That would also be the most touchdowns in the NFL thrown this season. And I hate to say, I mean, outside of Lamar Jackson, who's 34-3, which I don't know how for Lamar Jackson, but is what it is there. QBR, as I'm looking all the way down the board here, Joe Burrow has a 74 QBR. That's the most in the NFL. That's number one in the NFL. Rating, he's 107 rating, which is behind Lamar Jackson, behind Jared Goff, and That's it. So he's third in the NFL in rating. To me, I know that it's all going to go on record. I know playoffs are going to matter, and I know the Bengals stink. And here's the thing. The Bengals have a penny-pinching owner. Okay, that's what he is. He's a penny pincher. He doesn't spend money at all. They don't. The Brown family doesn't spend any money. But if I had to look at it, and I know record has to come into play. I know it does. I know it does. To me, I just think that sometimes you look at it, it's just this dude's playing on another level. And it's not, you could see it on his face, by the way, on the sideline. He's pissed. Yeah. He's so pissed because their defense sucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't win football games. But your logical point, right? Josh Allen. Now, you're right to this point on this. Josh Allen has to prove himself in the playoff, but I think that goes for Lamar Jackson as well. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson has to be held to the same type of standard.
For anyone who's not Patrick Mahomes, let's just be real. Let's just be honest. In the AFC, if you're looking at that side of the playoff bracket, if you're a quarterback on a starting playoff team, you have to prove yourself if you're not anyone who's not Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, the only person who's beaten Mahomes is Burrow.
Burrow.
That's yep, active.
That's it. That's it. Burrow is having an unbelievable season, so I do agree with you there. But I mean,
for me, I get what you're saying. Josh Allen has had a remarkable season for a guy who, listen, they scored, 48 points the other night against the Lions, and they didn't target Amari Cooper one time in the game. Right. The best thing that ever happened to Josh Allen was Stephon Diggs leaving. That was the best thing that could have happened for him because there's not a certain receiver that needs the football. Everybody can share the ball. Everybody plays. And he's a remarkable runner. He's done very, very well this season. He's 25-5. He's not been a turnover machine at all this year like he was in the past. Past couple years, he's been a turnover machine. You can agree on that. We can play. Yeah. What was Josh Allen's biggest problem the last couple years? He turned the ball over.
Fumbling and
throwing picks. He hasn't done that this season. He's been great. And Joe Brady has done a hell of a job with Buffalo. But yeah, I can see why you're saying that. To me, people are going to say Lamar Jackson. Fair enough. Derrick Henry probably has something to do with that. But I mean, I'm just saying. And Lamar's had a great season. But when you come down to a quarterback play, to me, it's been Joe. Evan McPherson has, dropped the ball since he got paid for them.
He's been awful.
They haven't been able to score field goals. He's lost them games. They've been in one possession games for six games this season.
Yeah.
They've could have easily had a winning record. And that's against my Pittsburgh Steelers as well. They could have won that game. But I hate it for Joe. When you have this remarkable of a season and it's not going to even matter. You know what I mean? It's not even going to matter. But I tell you what, Ja'Marr Chase better be the offensive player of the year. I mean, my God, he's been freaking real. Ja'Marr Chase has been, he has 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns right now. I mean, my Lord, the dude has been, he's averaging 13.9 yards a catch. Justin Jefferson's behind him at 1,200 yards. Dude, who thought the two guys at LSU would be dominating this much?
It's insane. It's crazy. No one predicted it.
Yeah, but you have a good pick. Josh Allen's a good pick.
I hate that records play a factor, because if records didn't play a factor,
God, it ruins everything.
It should be Joe Burrow 100%. Like, there's no question. If records didn't matter, Joe Burrow should win MVP.
I get why it does. But at the same time, he's going to have... I mean, listen, what do we got left? We got, three games left?
Yeah.
He's going to have I'm going to take a random assumption, 4,600-yard passing season probably.
Yeah.
In the next three, his 4,600 yards this season, that's it. That's at me just taking a guess. That's at least 200 yards a game, right, in the next three games. But you'll have more than that. But 4,600 yards, and he has 36 touchdowns now, so he's probably going to have 40-some touchdowns.
It's crazy.
It's going to be a remarkable season. It's just, and you know what? They're going to be second to last in the AFC North.
That's insane to me. That's why you don't get rid of your safeties. That's why you're going to get rid of safeties and corners, ladies and gentlemen. Because they were, like Cam said, the owner's a penny pincher. And he didn't.
They're going to have to get rid of more because, they got to pay Ja'Marr Chase.
T Higgins is already on the way out. We'll take him in Tennessee. I want T Higgins. I need him. I need him bad. Our last segment.
Well, hold on. before we go into the last segment, I kind of want to add another thing in here, right? Because I think we're 14 games in. Am I positive, right? Hold on one second. Yeah, we're 14 games played. So we're in week 15. Through all the weeks, what has been for you, and it's only one team, right? I want you to name. But most improved, like a team you didn't expect to be good this year, but they are.
Oh, that's 100% the Commanders.
Really?
I thought the Commanders would suck. I thought they would be god-awful. I did not even expect them to be in the position they're in right now. I thought Jaden Daniels didn't have an O-line worth of crap. But I was completely wrong. I thought the defense was bad. I didn't think the Commanders would be right where they're at all.
Fair. For me, it would be the Los Angeles Chargers. Okay. I thought the Chargers, after losing Key and Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler, and kind of leaving Justin Herbert with, I thought at the time, at the beginning of the season, with a whole bunch of nothing, really. I mean,
right.
And I know Quentin Johnson had a, you know, type of step up, but I didn't think McConkey would do this well. Ladd McConkey has been a stud for them. Gus Edwards has done fine this year, too. Josh Palmer stepped up this year. So, to me, when I look at it, kind of like the Bills, right?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh kind of built it like how the Bills are built this year. They don't have a huge number one, but they got guys who can play. So, kind of impressed with what Jim Harbaugh's done with the Chargers, you know, entering in this season. So, that would be mine.
Throw some love to Denver Broncos.
That'd be the other one.
I'm going to throw them some love as well. Like I said, I didn't think the Commanders would do good, and I thought Denver would be in the same boat. But Bo Nix is doing good, so I'm really happy with the rookie quarterback besides Caleb Williams, who's a bust.
Man, there's a couple. There's a couple teams.
Yeah.
There's a couple teams you could talk about. I'll tell you another one that is, I think, done pretty good in the last couple weeks would be the Rams. Their offense is explosive and unstoppable. You can tell with Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp, they're unguardable. I mean, they're great. So,
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers, yay! The Jets collapsed. Maybe you see them have a big...
Why are we even talking about that freaking useless team? Why are we talking about him? He's washed. He needs to retire.
Because he had the highest expectations. I didn't get your opinion on this. Sorry for cutting that out. They had high expectations and then blew it. But Kirk Cousins getting benched. What do you think about that?
I'm okay with it. If you don't use Kyle Pitts, you don't deserve to start.
I ain't going to be lying here, though. I mean, listen, the most fumbles and most interceptions this year.
How do you not use Kyle Pitts? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Because the only person that can use Kyle Pitts is Andy Reid.
Andy Reid might be getting him as a Travis Kelce replacement, too.
You might as well, because the dude can play wide receiver.
I would totally get
Arthur Smith couldn't use him. Why would Morris be able to use him?
That's crazy to me, because Arthur Smith had used like three tight ends for the Titans, so I don't understand how you
don't. I'm not alive for a Steelers fan. He doesn't even use Pat Freiermuth as much as he should. So
that's ridiculous.
That's just me. But all right, regardless, all right, we can move on now.
Last segment, and then we'll do our advertisement at the end.
Advertisement.
Who is your top five NBA teams right now?
Hold on a second. Let me switch over here.
And I swear, if my team is not a top five team, I'm gonna come through this phone. I'm not saying they're number one, but they're definitely top five. Don't tell me they're not.
Top five team.
Top five teams.
Okay, so you want me to do 5-1 or 1-5?
1-5. We'll just get right down the line. 1-5.
1-5. Well, my number one team is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Wow, we're in agreement on that.
Sam Presti has done a hell of a job. SGA, listen, they shouldn't have lost to the Bucks. I don't care. That was the worst performance they have played.
Yeah, the Bucks are bad. They're a bad team.
Oklahoma City played poor, and that's one of the worst performances I've ever seen them play. So SGA, I gotta roll with Oklahoma City. I mean, they've just been studdish, and honestly, they're gonna be deep in the playoffs this year. So I love what I've seen out of that young core.
All right, that's
my second team would be the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've had a thriller start to their season.
I'm proud of you.
I don't think it gets much better than how Donovan Mitchell has played in the beginning of the season. Evan Mobley has done very well in the beginning of the season. We just got to see. You know, time's going to tell. Keeping Cleveland very competitive is their home record, how they play at home, the way they play at home. They play at home differently than they do on the road, and you know, they keep that momentum up. Obviously, it's still early on in the season, So we're not even past, we're not even to the midway point yet. So we just got to see how things are going to play out. But as they've started, they've done well.
And we're looking to solidify our team with a wing. Cam Atkinson has addressed that. We need a 3-and-D guy just to complete our team. And I think we have a lot of pieces. I think Okoro should never been re-signed. I don't agree with that signing at all. He should be a sign-and-trade piece, so we'll see that moving forward.
Going down my third team, it's got to be the Celtics.
All right, so far, me and you are on the same track. We're 3-for-3.
I can't turn down the Celtics. They are who they are. Everybody knows who they are. They're all talented. They're going to be there at the end of the day. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown are superstars. So I never going to count them. Everybody knows why the Celtics are there. But I can't put the Celtics over the Thunder, for me personally. They can't go over the Thunder. How the Thunder have been in the NBA Cup, right? They played well. And SGA and this young core, I love what I see out of this team. And then Cleveland, with how Cleveland has started their season and, you know, looked progressively through their conference, and they're undefeated in their division. So they've been great. And I have to take the Cavs over Boston, and then Boston at 3. So then it comes down to 4 and 5, which gets really interesting for me because...
You're going to ruin it.
It gets interesting for me, but...
You're going to ruin it.
I'm going to go with the Houston Rockets at 4. And it's because the Rockets have had a hell of a start this season. The Rockets are a very young core team with Jalen Green. And I love Fran VanVleet. And hate to say it, from where they were a couple of years ago to being, you know, to how they've grown slightly, I like what I've seen from the Rockets early on, and I have to go with the Rockets at 4.
Who's your 5?
It's a hard toss-up, really. I mean, I'm not going with them.
I am shocked you haven't said the team I'm thinking of. Because the Rockets are in my top 10. They're not my top 5.
It's tough, because, I mean the Grizzlies, I mean, the Grizzlies have a huge argument to be in there. They really do. But, you know, I got to, man.
Who is it?
I have to do it, don't I? I have to go with the rightful 5, which is probably should be 4, but 5 would be the New York Knicks. I have to go with the 5 at New York.
Okay.
Carl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, the way they played against Minnesota the other night have been really good. The thing is with New York has been it's been a young chemistry thing going on right now, trying to get everybody together after losing some pieces and the away for Carl Anthony Towns. We went from a crew that didn't really rely on a center so much to, you know, you've got to figure out how to get Towns and Brunson together. And listen, to me personally, they shouldn't have lost to the Hawks in the NBA Cup. They should have been in there. They should have played the Bucks, but that was disappointing. But I have my Knicks. I have to go at 5 right now. And you may be right. I mean, you're probably right. The Houston Rockets aren't. Maybe not be in the top 5, but for me, the way they've played and the way that organization has been on a down loop since James Harden left to now they're having some type of success, I have to kind of go that way. But all right, you can go your top 5.
Okay. So our top 3, perfect. You went the exact same route I did. The exact same. I have the Thunder at 1, I have the Cavs at 2, I have the Celtics at 3. I do not have Houston in my top 5. They are in my top 10 though for sure, 100%. I do like the young Houston Rockets. They're up and coming. Dylan Brooks, he's a dog. I like his play. 4 would be the Knicks. I have the Knicks at 4. I take the Rockets out. I put the Warriors at 5.
Interesting take, but all right.
I think
for a 14-12 team, that's pretty interesting.
I know they're not. I know record-wise it's rough, but I just think about how they're playing now, and they're not playing to their full potential. But their ceiling, in my opinion, their ceiling is so high, it's not even funny. This team can catch lightning in a bottle quick. Like, it's insane. Curry, I know he hasn't played well, but I do think the Warriors are still a top 5 team in the NBA. I know the record don't show it. I get it. But I still think they're a top 5 team in the NBA. Just going through a little bit of a rough patch.
It's so early on, right? Hard to be able to really
exactly
hit the nail. I mean, listen, like maybe I'm the one to say it, but I didn't think Minnesota should have traded Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, that'd have been me
No.
The Knicks kind of got a steal out of that one, but
they should not have traded Cat, especially for who they traded for. How the hell do you trade Randall? I think Minnesota's gonna end up trading Randall. I think Julius Randall might be our 3 spot. I think Cleveland might make a push for Julius Randall to be our 3. To be our small forward. He's 6'8". He's a 3-and-D guy, physical, rebounds the ball, decent passer. He fits our bill. I think Cleveland might get a hold of Minnesota.
Well, yeah. All right, I got one thing to ask you. And I know it's off topic here. This is off NBA topic.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it. What's your thoughts on Juan Soto to the Mets?
The MLB needs captains. Bullshit, it's not. And it's ridiculous why it's not. And I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And the MLB postseason's basically decided in free agency. So baseball's dying, and people wonder why baseball's dying. This is why.
Small market teams
have no chance. We don't deserve that much. That's insane. 15 years, $760 million. Kidding me? No. That's ridiculous.
So I'm just curious what makes, and maybe you explain it better than I can, right? Because, I mean, I watch baseball, but what makes Juan Soto much better than Shohei Ohtani? I mean, I know he's a great batter, but he can't do the other side. He can't pitch. And by the way, Mad Dog Russo, I think you know who that is, right? Mad Dog?
Yeah, he's
Mad Dog. Mad Dog said it best. Why are you paying a guy this much money? In 5 years, he'll be a DH. I mean, it's not like his right field skills are really out there. I mean,
the fact that they just throw 15, 10, there should be no contract in baseball over 5 year deal. You should not get a 10-year. You should not get a 15-year. You should not be getting
an 8-year deal. 8-year could probably go with it. I'd go with an 8.
I still think 8 years too much because here's the point of an 8-year deal, right? Say I give you an 8-year deal. You can opt off halfway between. Why don't you just give me a 4-year deal? And if I want to resign, I'll resign. A 5-year deal is pushing it to me. There should be no more than a 5-year deal. And you should not be getting $760 million. I don't care who you are.
He can opt out in 5 years.
See, why give him a 15-year deal?
Just give him a 5.
Exactly, to give him a 5. Quit this off-out crap.
To me, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's something I don't know that other people do.
It's ridiculous.
I know the guy's a stone cold killer at the bat. But I mean, listen to me. When I look at it, I'm like, okay, is. I mean, if we're paying for him to hit the ball, right?
And field.
And he doesn't do the other one very that well. I mean, I'm not going to be mean here saying this. I mean, I don't think he fields much better than, you know, I can't say he's a better fielder than Cody Bellinger. I can't say that at right field. I mean, like, I can't say any of that.
Better fielder than Tatis Jr.
Or Acuna. I mean, I don't understand exactly.
They basically gave this guy the farm.
To hit the ball.
Yeah. Stupid.
And I hate to say it, a lot of people say the Yankees lost out on this. I don't think so.
No, you did not.
I think this is the best thing the Yankees probably could have done.
Cody B can hit the ball and he can defend the ball.
We got to sign Max Fried, which was a big time for pitching. That's a big time sign for us.
You need pitching, Matt.
All right, so that's a big time. So listen, like, here's what it comes down to me. Here's what I understand. If it was to the Dodgers, okay. You know what I mean? I get why he's going there. If it's to the Yankees, comes back to the Yankees, I get it. The Mets, I know they made the NLC. Like, I'm not going to deny, you know, what they did, right? Obviously, they have a good little core roster there. Do I think they are, you know, hell's bells bound for the championship just because they signed Juan Soto, $760 million? I don't think so. I would hate to say it, in the AL, sorry, the Mets and the NL. The NL, you're still going to roll with the Dodgers. You're still, I'd still roll with the Padres over them right now.
Yeah.
And you know, you still have the Phillies rolling around in the division, and you're going to have the Braves with Acuna coming back. So, I mean, it's not like the Mets are, you know, foregone.
They put all their eggs in one basket, is what they did with this signing to me. They put all their eggs and faith in one guy to turn this whole team around.
And I think it was kind of a waste.
It was 100%. I agree with you 120%.
So I just want to get your little bit of opinion on that.
Oh, I think it's ridiculous and stupid. Dumb.
Well, and
dumb decision.
And I know this is your show, right? This was your show today. This was your segments. And I'm taking over, which kind of makes it a little bit weird because I'm not trying to.
No, that's fine. I don't care, man. This is our thing. It's not me. And it's not you. It's we. It's our thing. It's not just
two things to address. We'll address. We talked about the other one earlier. We'll address that one at the end. Three things to address because we haven't been on here for a while. How do you feel about the Galaxy and winning out?
I told everybody from the get-go what I tell you. Since playoff one, they won. Did I tell you?
Yeah.
Did I not?
They had a great season. It was a great ending. I wish it was against Miami. I really do. That'd have been more fun to watch. Got you a hat?
No, my hat's coming in the mail, but this is what I got for now.
Well, I got a So I wish it was against Miami. I do. It'd have been more fun to watch.
I think us playing the Red Bulls was
Red Bulls were not as good. The Red Bulls weren't that good. They just luckily got in there.
It was luck they got in there, exactly. It was.
But good thing for the Galaxy. Heck yeah. MLS was fun this season.
We got six rings. Missed an MLS history.
That was number one. Now, this one, we have not got to talk about it, and I think it's something we have to address. And I know we don't normally want to address it, but West Virginia on their ending season against Memphis. GG played his heart out. Good for him.
Garrett Green cost us that game. I don't care what anyone says. Garrett Green, that was the best game Garrett Green ever played for us. Don't even hate on that kid because he did everything he possibly could to win us that damn game.
Going to and the that pro was not, as a wide and, receiver is kind of weird, but I mean, I guess
he
works.
Can play it. I told you, he's a running back, receiver, and quarterback all in one. But he's an average quarterback. He ain't the best quarterback, I will say that.
Okay, so I'll tell you the we had some transfers come out, actually. Oh, crap. Some guys leaving.
O'clock. Oh, boy. Damn. We're going to make
it up.
Yeah, we're going to have to make this quick. Dang, I'm about to
be. What do you think about Josiah Trotter committed to Missouri? Hope you know, from WVU.
Yeah, hell with him.
Donaldson's gone. Garrett Green is out. I think his name is Tabane on the defense there. Yeah, he's transferring. He transferred out as well. Rich Rod getting hired. Good thing for WVU, my personal opinion. I love that he's back.
Huddy left too. Hudson Clement left too.
Who cares? We don't care. I don't care.
Brandon Yates gave them an excuse why they're leaving. No, don't tell me you're all about blue-collar hard work when you have a coach coming in here saying hard edge, and then you guys leave. You're not about this life. They don't want it.
So, I mean, they don't want it.
And they know that Neil – I'm not saying Neil Brown didn't work them hard, but you know Rich Rod's going to make them mentally and physically tough, and they don't want to do that. They don't want to put in the work. That's all that boils down to.
And then, okay, so that's WVU, Rich Rod. We'll talk more about that later on, you know, down the road. And the final thing is that WWE January 6th moves to Netflix. A lot of crazy things are happening. Listen, basically, January 6th is a PLE. They don't like to admit it, but it is. It's a PLE. Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. We have Logan Paul, who's going to come back. Seems like he's going to have a feud with Gunther, because Gunther made that known the other night. Kevin Owens is off the rails. Cody Rhodes, we don't know when he's going to be back. Randy Orton's out for a little bit.
He's going to be back close to Royal Rumble. And Randy Orton's coming back at the Royal Rumble 100%.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously John Cena and the road to WrestleMania. So.
That's good. I'm going to cry. Been a fan of that man since day one.
To end it off here, because we'll end it here. Final question, Hunter, and I'll let you pick it. Well, I'll let you answer this, the final question. John Cena at WrestleMania, who's the opponent and what's for what title?
I think he should face Braun Breaker for the IC title. That's one title he's never won. I want Cena to win the IC title. I think John Cena needs to win it and make it more prestigious before he leaves and build it up.
Heck yeah. Well, guys, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoy college football playoffs. Just want to talk about basketball, getting to WrestleMania, talk about WVU, getting to all that stuff. So
we're going to talk about wrestling. Oh, road to WrestleMania, we're amping up. We're going to be amped up.
Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy the college football playoffs. See if we, you know, our 4-for-4. See if that goes right. So
crazy.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see y'all later.
See you guys.